Hello, this is Maurice Harker. For almost 20 years, we have been building a team of hundreds of clinicians, coaches, mentors, and people just like you who have discovered and love to teach life-changing principles. Our coaches have made a special investment to make sure you can hear these messages. You will hear stories of triumph and healing from specialists and people having a real life just like you. We hope to increase your awareness that you are not alone, and there are so many others who are enlisted in this work to train and heal the whole family. You will find these principles are an amazing synergy of the most accurate, cutting-edge science with familiar gospel principles. We are passionate eternal warriors, and we hope you will join us.
Welcome. This is the Like Dragons Do They Fight podcast, and today I am here with an awesome woman that I'm just thrilled that I get to know better, and I'm excited for you to get to know her better. She and I are coaches together here at Life Changing Services, and Debbie Stransky, I can't even remember where she told me she was from right now, but she's going to tell us here in a second. We're recording this just on a day that's like almost Easter, like it's going to be Easter this weekend, and we're, I don't know, just feeling the spring bug here in Utah, but I don't know what it's like there where you live in California, right? Oh.
Yeah.
All right. So yeah, Debbie, tell us a little bit about you. Like what kind of things do you love? Tell us about your family and just the things that would help other people know. Okay. I think I kind of have a picture of who Debbie is.
Well, I live in California, Carlsbad, California. I have become a little bit of a beach bunny because it gives me such peace, you know? And it doesn't matter if it's cold or it's warm outside. I love to go down to the beach early in the morning, often watch the sun come up, and I feel like it's me, God, in the water, and the spirit is just always so strong. And I feel like it's just such a blessing to be able to just leave this world and see forever out through that ocean and just commune with God early in the morning. Very much a morning person.
Wow, I'm a morning person too, but I don't live near a beach. Boy, do I like sitting and enjoying the beach. And sometimes I yearn to just take me to a beach, take me to the ocean. But yeah, how long have you lived in California?
Well, we raised our kids here, so like 30 years. But I feel like no matter where you live, you know, there's beauty and you can find a special spot or several spots or different hikes or just wherever it is that you can feel the spirit. And there's so much beauty in this world. It for sure doesn't have to be on a beach. I just happen to live by one, but I've been in the mountains and thought there is nothing more spectacular than all this beauty around as well.
I totally agree. That's where I am, in the mountains, and I couldn't agree more. But, you know, when you like the beach and it's just been forever since you've been there, yeah, such a wondrous feeling. And so do you live close to the beach?
I do. I live about 2 miles from the beach.
So fun. It's really great. And tell me a little bit about your family.
So it's a blended family and there's 5 kids. They're all within about 4.5 years of each other. And really, you know, when I got married very young and I had these dreams that I was going to accomplish with my life. I was going to get through school. I was going to be married in the temple. I was going to have 4 kids by the time I was 30. And I knew how I was going to raise them. And I knew they would grow up and also love the gospel, love the Lord, go to college, be married, and on and on. And I would be on my life by 50, just doing, you know, whatever it is you do. Well, now that I'm in my 50s and pretty much almost everything derailed from that plan, I've seen beauty in a different way. So that's kind of interesting that we talk about the beach and the mountains, because what I thought initially would have been so beautiful, and really it didn't turn out that way. I have found beauty in different ways. And it's really given me a lot of strength, but it's been through a lot of adversity and a lot of heartache and a lot of really serious gut-wrenching challenges. And my family, I call it a very functional, dysfunctional family. And that's from a mother's perspective. Other people might look at it and think it's a hot mess, but it's my family. I love each and every one of them. And I just have such a testimony that we're on our individual journeys here. And some of us, our call in this life is to be the cheerleader and the faith holder and hold on strong and all of those things to try to just help be who our Heavenly Father would want us to be as we help others on the way and realizing that we're not the Savior. We have a Savior and we can allow the Savior to do the saving and we can be His partner and be in the loving business.
That's excellent. Well, something you said just made me think of that scripture that the Lord will create beauty for ashes. Know that it's beautiful for you. You know, you've seen beauty in a different way and it's come through adversity. Sometimes that's even more stunning because of the incredible power that you also get to notice Christ's atonement and how it helps you to be where you're at and support you where you're at and how you see Him doing His work with your loved ones or with you, whether that's really fast or really slow. Yeah.
A lot of it's really slow, but I remain steadfast and all believing.
That's excellent. So good. Well, I have a blended family too and 5 children.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fun to know. So Debbie, what led you to life-changing services and being interested in learning these Eternal Warrior principles? How did you even find life-changing services and why was it appealing to you?
As I even was describing before, I think I came into it almost in a backdoor way, but I feel like it was a gift. I know it was a gift. And at first I was about the business of forgetting my Savior was the Savior, and I was about the saving business. But one of the great blessings in my journey was my son struggled a lot with pornography. And my other son, and both my sons are adopted, and then the other 3 are step. So I never could have my own children. And anyway, so both my kids still struggle with addiction, one with pornography and one with substance. And it just, as any parent knows who's been through addiction with loved ones, you feel helpless and shame and desperate and betrayed sometimes. You know, like, how could this be? If I did what I thought was right and I did my best, how could this be the outcome, you know? And one day I spent lots of time searching for answers, and I could find a lot of help for substance abuse, but I couldn't find help for pornography. And one day I came across Maurice, and he had a whiteboard, and he just explained pornography and the effects that it has on the brain. And he talked about, like dragons, did they fight? And so I put in for the free book, and I just devoured it. And then I kind of put it aside. I had learned that and some other things. And then every once in a while, someone from the Eternal Warriors would call. And I even thought for a while, I think they're just trying to make money. So I kind of would be nice and ask them some questions since they were willing to give me insight, but I wouldn't bite too much. And then I had a girlfriend who was really struggling with one of her kids, and I referred her to him, and she took the classes, and she just was lit on fire with it. So I went in and took the classes. And I just can't believe I was so stuck for so long thinking I had enough. I had enough knowledge, and I would say stuck. I was really stuck. And that's how I came to Eternal Warriors or life-changing services and have loved it. I love rereading it over and over and learning it. I love teaching it. I love coaching it. I love it.
Mm. Wow. So what was it, or when did you know, I think I'm going to do what it takes to become a coach and teach this? At what point did you think, okay, I'm going to do that. I'm going to become a coach for life-changing services and coach with these things and teach these principles?
You know, when I was going through the classes, I had a wonderful mentor who was just so gentle and patient. and insightful and just so available, you know? And I felt so safe there. And I didn't feel shame or embarrassed. I wanted the help. I wanted to learn it. And so I'm like, I'm going in all the way and I'm going to be real. And the coaching, because we're not therapists, but the coaching and the way that she would lead me to help me find answers helped me become so close in identifying really the spirit more. And I love the spirit and I love the savior. And I feel like I've walked really close with the spirit often through my life, but it helped me really identify more the spirit as I identified more the adversary, really taking those arrows from his quiver and just shooting them at me, and how he was using my own weaknesses and insecurities to attack. And as I was learning these principles, it was so enlightening to me, and it was such a source of strength to me. I just thought, why doesn't everybody know this? It goes right in line along with gospel principles. It's just helping with the study of the brain, which I had gone and put myself in a neurology office with a neuropsych so that I could manage their office under the guise that I wanted to feed off information from them too. And the things that I was learning in eternal principles matched up with what I was learning at the neurology office. And I would bring it to the neurologist and talk about the brain. And I just thought, we've got to get the word out. If people are looking for help, and I know people are, I want to be one who's also, along with my journey, because I think we're always learning and growing and working towards improving, I would love to help others along their way also. What a great blessing it is to be able to, all of us, be able to help gather each other and help each other along the path. I think that's what we're here to do. It's what we're taught we're here to do, in fact.
Yeah, and so much of our mission or our message really comes from our messy places. And you're so much more qualified to empathize and care for and, yeah, serve, just like you mentioned your mentor in Eternal Warriors. Like, it's from her ashes, like from the, you know, that God made that so beautiful and illuminated it to the point where, you know, she could share with so much relatability.
Oh, she sure did. You know, when I was taking her class, she had taught a class on that we're a team. Mm-hmm. And I had gone up to visit my son in the Manti prison or in the Gunnison prison. And before I went to the Gunnison prison to visit my son, I went to the Manti temple the night before. And I got there late at night. I went to their last session. And I walked out, it was dark. There was no one in the parking lot, which I can't figure out why I was there alone. I wasn't necessarily afraid because I felt safe, but I dropped my keys under the car and my phone battery was dead. And I was crawling around my car and all of a sudden I just felt, just like dark. Like it started all coming to my mind. You know, I'm getting my son in prison. My keys are now under the car. It's dark. There's no one here. No one knows where I am. If anything happened right now, no one would probably even find me or be able to identify me, you know? And I just, all these thoughts were going through my mind. And I reached out to my mentor that night. It was by text after I plugged my phone in. But she wrote back and she just gave me coaching, lovely principles, along with some scripture. And it helped me do what's called a lost battle analysis and to analyze where it was that I lost the spirit. Because keep in mind, I was just at the temple. So you would think that would be fresh off the farm right there, right? But I lost it under the car by myself in the dark. And that was my first lost battle analysis that I did. And it was powerful. And it helped me realize that it's true that the feelings that I had where they were in the thoughts that I had that were in the front lobe of my brain. And I lost them as they went to that emotional part of my brain and became irrational. As I did that lost battle analysis, I was able to flip it and get myself back into remembering who I am, what I'm really here for. And I went to the prison the next day and I was able to see in that prison and testify really that Christ walks the hallways of those prisons every bit as much as he walked the hallways of that Manti temple the night before. And I don't know why I had experienced the despair in between, probably because I was about to experience such greatness in the prison the next day. But it was mind blowing.
Wow. And so it was something you shared with your son in the prison that just came to fruition there?
I shared it with my son. And in the Gunnison prison, you're able to all kind of, it looks like you're eating at a motel breakfast place, actually. It's not like what you would think. There's not all these bars and phones, and you're sitting at a table like you're going to have a little lunch. And I shared with him, but as I would walk by the other tables and I would see other inmates in their journey, it was such a powerful experience as I looked at them. And we are children of God and we're on our journey, and we can choose, you know, if we're going to take a step forward, or we can choose to stay where we are or go backwards. But the Savior is about the saving to all. And oftentimes I think that a lot of this, the saving and healing that's gone on with my son, he needed to be there in order to take a pause and really be able to look for and seek after and be willing to hear his Savior and allow the atonement in his life. And he did use a lot of the principles that we teach in Eternal Warriors. And he still does.
Is it because you were sharing them with him, or just he was in something similar?
You know, I would share it with him, but there had to be, and I can't figure it out because Maurice does say that it's not in the prison, but somehow it was in there because the inmates would talk about it. So somehow someone's brought it in there, or someone's taught someone and it stayed in there, but it wasn't new what I was telling him. He was identifying, he's like, I know that's the spin. That's the satanic spin. And he would, yeah, that's when you get to a level five or the irrational thought. And yes, we talked about it and it was great to have that, but I didn't teach it. He already had been reading it there. So I don't know if someone, I don't know where it came from. Maybe that book, Like Dragons Did They Fight, is inside there.
Right. That's excellent. Well, that's kind of cool, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so awesome. Well, and you know, I wonder, you know, just because I love that, you know, it's obvious that you went and had an approach to your life, to your parenting, to your purpose, and what drove that purpose, you know, that your covenants and your love for God and what you were hoping for your family. And then, you know, to just notice that it didn't turn out the way that you thought it would, but that you can still see the beauty in it and have been able to do that. What about, I know you mentioned that, you know, just being able to identify that, hey, that is the adversary kind of keeping me from my truth and the Savior. And once you learned that, that was really helpful. Is there anything else that you would share that you learned that helped you to reframe, or just see your life in a different way?
I really have a testimony of divine positioning. And I think that in our limited mortal minds, we do have these dreams and these ideals of how we think if we do one thing, then this is what we've worked for and this is what the outcome should be. And it can be so discouraging when that doesn't happen. But I believe that our Heavenly Father wants every single one of us back, every single one of us. And so if we think he's only going to put the strong and the valiant together, because that's what they deserve, that's what they've earned, that's what they worked for, and then everyone else is in some other basket, that would be a falsehood. Of course, everyone has their strengths, their gifts, their limitations while they're here on earth. And the goal is for us all to return home. It's the purpose to bring to pass the immortality and eternal life of man. And if we believe that to be true, and we believe God is a God of order, and we believe that to be true, then he didn't just use a salt and pepper shaker and shake us down here or group us into the strong and the weak or the good and the bad, he's going to put us all together. In fact, it would make sense that some of the strong would be with the weak, right? Or we would be exposed to him because we're to help fill in the gaps. And all of us are weak in some things, and all of us are strong in some things. So, you know, like the doctor I worked for one time, she made a disparaging comment about people who did blue collar work. And I said, that's really something to think that, because they need you as a doctor for sure. But if you didn't have them, what street would you be driving on that wouldn't be built? What car would you be driving in? How about the building that you work in? What about the hospital? What about the inventors and the developers of all the technology? Everybody has their strengths. And I think it's the same spiritually. Some of us are strong in one area and others are in other areas, but we're divinely positioned so that the goal is that we can all return back home to our Heavenly Father. And I just have such a testimony that that's true, because I know my Heavenly Father and I know my Savior, and I know he wants all of us back. So what I used to think was, this is embarrassing that my family looks like this and they go through this and I must be a horrible mother. For me, in my calling in life, I feel like he gave me an assignment or calling, and he trusted me with some spirits that were going to struggle. And I just don't want to not fulfill that calling. It's an honorable calling. And I had one lady one time at a funeral, and then I'll close with this, said, you know, Debbie, people get different things in life. Some people will get cancer. Some people will go through a divorce. Some people will have wayward kids. And I was like, oh, I have all of it. I got all of that. And I thought, well, I guess I should sit here and feel bummed, because I didn't just get one out of that bag. And I thought, no, I mean, Heavenly Father must really love me, because he gave me so much to learn from. And he gave me these kids that I adore and are still struggling to this day, but he trusted me with them. So the flip, or the ability to reframe it, is I feel blessed to have the family I have, and I don't walk in shame. I feel honored that he trusts me with such a great big task.
Oh, that's so excellent. It makes me think of the parable of the vineyard, and how, you know, the Lord says the man that was hiring people, you know, went and hired people in the morning, and they worked all day, and hired some more people in the middle of the day, and then, you know, hired people when it was just the end of the day, right? The last hour. And then he, you know, went to compensate them all for their work that day, and they all were rewarded the same amount for their labor. I just think, yeah, I think there's great purpose in God's vision and what he understands. And we just really cannot judge by what we understand mortally about what that looks like, because you're in that mess, or you chose that road, or you, I think that we labor in the vineyard. That refers to people who are like on the straight and narrow, and we're in the church, that kind of thing. But I think God needs us outside the vineyard too, you know, with all of the powerful things that we have become and know. Even if we were raised in a home with the gospel, still there's so much light and power and goodness, right? Oh. Even so.
Oh, yes. I think if we could take these mortal bodies off and really see each other as the spirits that we are, and be able to remember that, I think that the person that maybe now we maybe shun or look down on, we might bow to our knees and say, what an honor it was to be on earth with you during that time and rub shoulders with you. I had no idea.
So good. I love that. So how has, just because I think it'll be so helpful, how have you been able to approach relationships differently since applying Eternal Warrior principles?
You know, really, I think no matter who I come in contact with in relationships, whether it's friendships or even in my marriage or with my kids, is, you know, you hear that saying all the time, we have two ears and one mouth, so we should do accordingly. But I love to listen to what people are going through. And I love it so much because you can identify their goodness, but you can hear the struggle And if you really can listen, and even to your own thoughts, so it's with everybody, the relationship with ourselves or with anyone you're talking to identify that every thought is going to come from really the adversary or the spirit. And even when we think, I'll give you an example. My sister, she teaches a primary class, and because of the pandemic, we've done it via Zoom. Mm-hmm. And I'm the loud one. She's the more demure, well-mannered mm-hmm. one. And she goes in her closet every week, and she teaches this little Zoom class to her primary class, all on her own. That's not the expectation of the ward. She just wanted to do it. Well, she was doing an Easter lesson, and she said, oh, I showed him a picture, and I realized after I showed the picture and I was all done with Zoom and I sent the video that I had shown a picture of Christ before the crucifixion, before he was resurrected, I mean. And I gave him the wrong picture. They're going to see he doesn't have the hooks in his hands. Those parents are going to be so mad at me. They're going to think, what is she doing? What is her problem? Okay. To anyone listening to that story, we can identify right away the lies that are being told to her mind right there by the adversary, because the goodness that she was doing, if we just, separate it, she was taking time and she prepared a lesson. She went to her closet and she taught these kids and she showed a picture and testified of Christ. All those things were wonderful and good, but Lucifer's not going to want her to feel good about it. So he's like, oh, look at you. First of all, you had a hard time forming a sentence. You're super quiet. You kind of look like you're a scared rabbit and you showed the wrong picture. So she was beside herself. And I was like, well, I'll tell you what I think Heavenly Father's saying is, thank you so much, Sherry, my good and faithful servant. And I love you so much for your efforts. And I think all through this program, it's just in my relationships or in my own thoughts, it's just identifying and helping people identify what their thoughts really mean and where they're really coming from. And it helps everyone along their journey in this life.
Yeah, just that's something that you've mentioned, that listening has been an important thing for you. And so, yeah, that's so awesome. And being able to listen to others and hear where they're being attacked, their identities being attacked by whatever the adversary is using that's difficult in their life, taking advantage of that weak space there, or listening to yourself. Mm-hmm. Listening to yourself. Is this my thought? Is this the Holy Ghost, or is this the adversary? And being able to discern that.
The other night I was teaching a young gal in college, and he's tricky, that Lucifer, She feels like she's not measuring up. She feels like she needs to serve more. So there's a guy in her college that she thought, I need to serve him. People kind of ridicule him. They exclude him. He needs help. He's asked me to help teach him. I'm going to go help tutor him. And so I was just like, we're trying to figure out a lost battle with her, And I was like, that doesn't sound like that's lost. But as you kept listening, for some reason, she kept going back to this man. Well, as she kept going into it, she's a 23-year-old. You find out that this man is a 60-year-old for some reason on campus and is really guilting her into a lot of things that she feels like, I need to serve and I need to do this. But meanwhile, it's suspicious as to what that man might be up to. So it was interesting to watch as that unfolded and you just listen. And as she kept backing up, that in that situation where you think I'm serving, I'm trying to do good, actually lie the adversary himself. And it was time to remove yourself. So just listening and also being able to listen to yourself and the feeling and the spirit that you feel. And why did she feel that agitation? Why did she feel that apprehension? And then why was she feeling guilt because she was being told that she needed to go serve more? And it wasn't the case at all. Those were all lies. Mm. They're all lies under the guise of, I just want to serve the Lord.
Yeah.
And I go back to often, for me, the spirit, I know I'm with the spirit when I feel peace, no matter what's going on around me, whether my kids are in prison, whether my kids are, there's the storm going on and all of this is happening and I'm bald with cancer, I can still feel peace. And when I feel agitation, I know that's a stupor of thought. So as I was listening to her, you could hear the agitation, right? It's like, it's a stupor. Somewhere there's a stupor here. And you continue down the road and you're like, oh, I see thee now. And then as soon as we identified it and we could see where the lies were, the peace came. And she said, I know what I need to do.
Wow, that's incredible. That's the power of having a mentor, a coach with some really awesome principles that are, you know, highlighting there's a scientific side of these spiritual principles that we love so deeply and that we do care about, like to the point that we would, you know, not even question, you know, our desire or our duty to serve God because there's someone to minister to and I think I'll do that. And then to recognize that, yeah, Satan can work on us in that space where the chemistry of our feelings is created, right? And so just to understand, and so that's such a great example of the power of having someone who can really, really has done a lot of work yourself to discern and listen to yourself and other people that you coach. And then, yeah, to be able to, I'm just thinking of situations in my own life that had I been able to just really see that for what it was, I wouldn't have been deceived and then really hurt because of it. You know, it's awesome. Yeah, it's really good.
One thing I just always think about is follow the peace, but it's being able to identify that the peace is gone. Cause sometimes it leaves so subtle and it's under the idea that we're doing good. Right. But how do we listen to our insights and our own thoughts enough to know, whoops, there it went. Oh, it's not here. So what happened?
Yeah.
And how do I get it back?
Wow. Yeah. So you mentioned just a minute ago, whether I'm bald with cancer. Have you had cancer?
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Bald as a cucumber. And I'll tell you the perk of being bald, not the sickness and all of that. But you really do just take a shower and towel off your head and plop on your wig and off you go. Get ready a lot faster.
Wow, that would be so much faster. Wow. And how long ago is that?
Oh, that was, well, about 15 years ago.
Wow.
In fact, yeah, February. Okay, 14 years ago. February is my 14th year cancer-free. So still holding, early detection, you know, and keep going in. But I also know that, you know, we're all down here temporarily enjoying this mortal life. And at some point we graduate, and I have several friends where their cancer has returned. And you always have to take a hard look at mortality when you are really faced with it, right? But when that time comes, I think we all are sad because we're going to miss those that we leave and they're going to miss us, but also it's a graduation. And I really believe that at some point we're all going to graduate and no one avoids it.
That's excellent. Well, if there were a principle in your coaching with these Eternal Warrior principles, is there any other principles that you would just highlight that you just love?
I absolutely love when you figure out you've lost that peace, how you can flip it and get it back. And it's when you identify it, when we lose it, it's usually a mood battle first. And when we can identify it and we can identify that mood and flip it, it's amazing to me. Sometimes it comes back fast. Sometimes it takes more work, but it's amazing to me that it is effective and it works. And that our Savior and the Spirit are so ready and willing to help us identify that flip, where we are at, how do we flip it, and how do we return back to them or to the Savior. He's so ready and willing, whose arms are outstretched and open. And in the world that I live in a lot with the troubles that my kids have had, you do suffer at the will of a lot of people's judgmental eyes. And I even in flipping that, I think most people are good people. it's more ignorance that caused the judgmental, or fear that something could happen to them or that could happen to them. And so the judgmental comes out. So the part for the flip on that is to learn to love them and be patient with them where they're at in the, I'll say, in the judgmental ignorance, and not get caught up in feeling judged, right? But being able to flip that. So the tool in Eternal Warriors that is so powerful for me is when I start to feel that self-consciousness, or feeling less than, or feeling insecure, feeling fear. Fear is always so big, and that mood starts to change, is to be able to flip it and say, you know what? God's an all-inclusive God. He's inclusive to all of us, and he loves all of us, and he loves that person. And I can learn patience by loving them where they're at, not then returning judgment for judgment.
Wow, what a gift, really, to be able to see that happening and then know that right there in that space, you can flip it. It sounds like you're talking about the notice it, name it, flip it, find it tool.
I love that lesson. I love that so much.
That's excellent. All right. And really, that is just, you know, notice that you're in a mood battle. Mm-hmm. Name the feeling that you're having. Flip the feeling on its head. Just flip it. What's the opposite of this? What can I be feeling instead of this? And then do, what can you do right now? What's the right thing to do to start finding that new feeling?
Yeah, and sometimes it's as simple as when you hear something that touches your soul, write it down. And if it's a saying or something, pack it around with you. So when you notice that's happening, you bring it back out, and it helps you remember who you are, and where is that spirit back? How can I get that spirit back? By remembering. You know, my coach, one time she gave me a challenge to go through and read my patriarchal blessing, but to read it differently. Don't read it like, oh, what's the future going to hold? But to read it under the idea of, how does my Heavenly Father talk to me? How does he feel about me? How do I read that? And I was like, I don't think he really says in there. I mean, he says, you know, you're my love daughter, you know, something along those lines. But when I went through and I actually said a prayer first and read it, I thought, I'm going to write this down. And I packed those words around with me for a long time. So when I would start to get stuck into a mood battle, I'm like, no, I know that I'm a love daughter of God. And I know that he trusts me. And I know that he wants me to have success here. And it's powerful. And you can do that through your patriarchal blessing or a prayer, and then listen to the words that come to your mind and write those down. Or a quote. We have all the social media. We see so many great things go through there. And that works for me, is to have those go-to things right with me to help me remember.
Ah, so wonderful. Ah, well, Debbie, I just think it's so important at the end here for you to just express why you fight, why being aware of this battle is so important. Why are you fighting? Why don't you just give up? And how would you encourage others to come and, yeah, just check out coaching with you?
Oh, I fight because I love my Heavenly Father and I love my Savior. I fight because I love the things that I know to be true. I love my family. I fight because the alternative is to give up and to be in despair and to feel worthless or insecure. And I know that's not how my Heavenly Father wants any of us to feel. And it's a journey. Sometimes when we start that journey, it can be scary, or it can be intimidating, or, you know, the adversary is going to throw all kinds of those fiery darts at us again. But that's all to get us to stop fighting. And we started out in the very beginning in a fight for our agency and for the ability to become like our Heavenly Father. And I am determined to learn all I can here and to keep the fight up and to go home and be as much like I can from learning what I can learn here and helping those that I can here and return back to my Heavenly Father. Again, the alternative would be to give up, and that's not where I want to be.
Yeah, so good. Thank you so much, Debbie. If you're listening, to this episode, it would be important for you to know if you want to know more about Debbie and read her bio or know how to contact her, you would go to lifechangingservices.org underneath the training tab, and then you'll see coaching there. And you'll be able to find Debbie Stransky. So, yeah. Oh, I'm just so thrilled to know you and to be fighting shoulder to shoulder with you, as we're just feel so blessed by these principles ourselves. So thanks so much, Debbie.
Thank you, Karen.
Thank you for listening. As you can see, we are very enlisted in what we have learned and hope to teach. If you have found today's message inspiring, please share this podcast with family and friends so others can enjoy and be edified along with us. Be sure to download the free book that holds all the core principles behind what we teach. This book is called Like Dragons Did They Fight. You will find a link for that free download at Like Dragons Free. And remember, you can find all the life-changing resources, programs, and trainings needed for you and your family at lifechangingservices.org.